Yes, it may be Tuesday, but we're going to have MLS Monday on a Tuesday this time around. Looking at all the big things happening over on the other side of the Atlantic, joined as always by our Major League Soccer expert, Drew Farmer. Drew, welcome.
Hey, Andy, good to be back and good to have you back after a two-week absence.
Yeah, it's been good for me, actually, just looking back and trying to catch up with everything that's going on in US soccer. As we go through, we're going to be talking about the US men's national team because since you and I last spoke, things have gone very wrong there. We'll look outside of Major League Soccer where, again, things do not seem to be going swimmingly particularly. But in the MLS playoffs, we've had the knockout stages. We're at conference semi-finals. So far, there are three games gone and only three goals.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say that this MLS Cup playoffs has so far been very spectacular, and it hasn't really been much of an advertisement for the league. Yeah. You know, in the conference semifinals, as you said, only three goals so far have been scored, and those three goals were in the New York Red Bulls Toronto FC match, which took place on Monday night. With Toronto FC coming out the winners there, thanks to Sebastian Giovinco. But, you know, the other games have really failed to really ignite, if you will. The Vancouver-Seattle game that took place on Sunday, only one shot on target in that game. And, you know, I think maybe some of the teams are really, I guess you could say, hunkering down to try to play for those nil-nil score lines to get the games back home or to get an away goal. But, you know, I think a lot needs to be done for these, you know, a lot more scoring needs to be done to really get fans excited about what's going on right now in the postseason.
Yeah, with these games, as you say, they're over two legs now that we're in the semi-finals. In the Western Conference, literally no goals. Then there's been the Toronto-New York Red Bulls game with the three goals in it, Toronto 2-1 in that. Then later on today, we see New York City FC versus Columbus Crew. Are you effectively expecting more of the same from that one, Drew?
You know, I kind of am, but you know, New York City does have that, you know, that ace in the hole, if you will, with Jack Harrison and David Villa leading the line there for New York City FC. So I think there could be potential for goals there. But if you look back at Columbus Crew's first round knockout round game, which ended 0-0 and they won on penalties against Atlanta United, you know, there's not a lot of history, I guess, so far in this playoffs to show that there will be goals scored in that game.
Why do you think it is that we've got so few goals at this stage? Do you think it literally is a case that the prize is too big to go all out in game one and maybe make the mistake that loses it? Or, I mean, what do you think is going on? This is really unusual.
You know, I think that could be part of it. Maybe they're a little bit jittery, not really wanting to go out and make a mistake. And you know, they're trying to just get that one goal to see things through. But you know, it has been a long regular season, and now we get into the postseason. They've used up a lot of energy, you know, maybe some tired legs out there. We're getting into the cooler months there in the U.S. and Canada. So, you know, all those things could be a factor, the travel as well. You know, we talked over the regular season how it's more typical in the MLS for home teams to win due to the travel that away teams must go through. So, you know, it could be a lot of just trying to play out those nil-nils and try to take it to extra time and then on the penalties.
Now, away from the playoffs and Major League Soccer specifically, to what's happening elsewhere in US soccer, we will talk about the men's national team shortly. First, to domestic matters, and quite frankly, Drew, in the last couple of weeks, things domestically seem to have become a bit of a mess. Where do you want to start with this?
Well, I guess we could start with the Columbus Crew and their proposed move to Austin, Texas. And, you know, last week, Richard and I talked about this this kind of coming out of nowhere with Columbus Crew owner Anthony Precourt stating that he will be moving the Columbus Crew to Austin if he's not basically given a brand new shiny stadium there in Columbus. Obviously, the team will be there still next season, but they would be moving for the 2019 season. But you know, as we've said before, U.S. soccer is a bit of a soap opera. And one of the things that's happened just yesterday was the officials of San Antonio, Texas, who have been in negotiations with Major League Soccer about an expansion franchise. Well, they are going to investigate some of this dealing that Major League Soccer has with Austin and Anthony Precourt, because they were told that no team would be moving into Texas or no other city in Texas would be getting a franchise in Major League Soccer until they at least had their chance to get the nomination for the next round of expansion, which is coming up here in the next month or so. So, you know, a lot of things going on there, and MLS was encouraged by San Antonio at one time that they told San Antonio that they should purchase their own soccer-specific stadium, which the city did do for $18 million. And, you know, I think that with everything that's going on, they have a bit of a right to be upset just as much as Columbus Crew fans, if you will.
Do you suspect that there is actually a lot in this, or do you think at this stage it really is just those at Crew, those in charge, kind of saying to the city of Columbus, look, you've got something here. We don't really want to go, but you're going to have to do something to help? Or do you think we're way further down the line than that?
You know, I think we're way further down the line. As I said last week, I think this decision is almost made in the owner of Columbus Crew, Anthony Precourt's mind. From what I've read, his family actually lived for quite some time in Austin, and his dad worked in companies there, and I think he has a bit of a soft spot for that area. And there's also rumors that the Crew and the University of Texas have already worked out a deal to rent facilities down there. So there is the chance that this is actually already kind of an official, unofficial deal, if you will. And I think that San Antonio has enough of an argument to really suppress this matter, just as much as, you know, as I say, I think the Crew fans who have been really let down by the club.
Yep, Texas, big state, but the way things are looking, they could end up with three, maybe four Major League Soccer teams. Do you think the state of Texas very quickly could sustain that many teams?
No, I really don't think so, because, again, you have the overpopulation of sporting teams in that state, along with top-class university sports teams. And as a lot of people know who know Texas well, you know, American football is king down there. And, you know, I think that having too many soccer franchises would really, really kill the sport there.
Two other things domestically and the NASL. Again, it just seems to be a bit of a mess at the moment, Drew.
Yeah, we talked about back in September, the NASL had lost their Division II status in U.S. soccer. And a lot of that was down to financial problems that the league has had for quite some time, as well as there being only eight teams for this season in the NASL. Now, the NASL has filed an antitrust lawsuit against the U.S. Soccer Federation, and they're trying to get an injunction sorted so they can extend for at least one more season. And their goal is to have more teams in place as well for next season, despite two teams, including San Francisco Deltas, already saying that they're not really sure if they're going to be able to have another season as a professional franchise. So a lot of problems going on there with the NASL, and they're going to be going to court today to get that final judgment on whether they will be able to basically, you know, they have a right to be a Division II league next season. Now, they do have the chance to apply for Division III status, but that's not really what they're going for, because they see that if they are not, given that Division II, that a lot of fans will not want to come out and to watch the soccer. I think that they've got a bit of a point there, but I think a lot of people also see the NASL as a minor league, really. They don't play in soccer-specific stadiums like the MLS franchises do. They don't play, with quite the same talent or the same money behind them. So I think that the NASL is in a very bad situation right now, and I think we could be seeing, if this doesn't go their way, we could be seeing the closure of the league at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's getting to that state with NASL. It's one worth keeping an eye on. And just something which as well has caught my eye in the last 24 hours or so with the US men's national team. There was talk before I went away that World Cup qualification was still a potential thing. It's not happened. Bruce Arena, who came in midway through the qualification process, taking over from Jurgen Klinsmann. So he, Bruce Arena, has also now gone. I'm seeing Sam Allardyce, who is looking for his next role in football, has at least it's being reported, expressed an interest that if the USA were to come along, he would certainly contemplate it. Do you, A, Drew, see that as a likely thing? And B, do you think that Big Sam could actually be successful with the USA?
I'm not so sure I see it as a likely thing at the moment, even though the odds are really good right now, 2-1 that he would be the next U.S. manager. Whether it be a good for U.S. soccer, you know, I think the U.S. could do a lot worse. You know, he's had a lot of success with teams here in England at various levels, keeping them in, keeping them up from relegation, keeping them away from relegation, that is. And I think that, you know, he could do a lot of good things for the U.S. You know, his playing style isn't necessarily the most attractive, as we know, but, you know, neither was Bruce Arena's, and, you know, the U.S. didn't look so good under Jurgen Klinsmann either. So I think the U.S. could do a lot worse than Sam Allardyce. Whether they would really go for him or they would just kind of see his reputation, decide to shy away from him, I'm not sure. I'm seeing also Peter Vermes and Caleb Porter, Sporting Kansas City coach Peter Vermes, that is, and Portland's Caleb Porter being linked with the job. And Vermes has come out you know, in the last few months saying that he's not really sure if he would really want to take that job. But, you know, I could see someone like Porter or someone else in Major League Soccer right now, whether Greg Berhalter or Jesse Marsh, really taking that position. I think even though I would like to see someone from Europe with an extensive background, you know, like Sam Allardyce, who is managed at various levels in the Championship and in the Premier League, even though I'd like to see a coach like that come in and take over, I think that the U.S. might keep it within, you know, within that MLS realm, even though I really think that they should step out of it for a change.
Yep. Lots to look at when it comes to North American soccer. Lots of interesting points in the road just at the moment, and where things will go, we'll have to wait and see. We'll always keep you up to date with what's happening, though, when MLS Monday returns each and every week. For this time, though, Drew Farmer, thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy.